Thanks, Miranda. As we prepare to hear scripture read, let us join together in prayer. Almighty God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, open your word and illumine our darkened world that we may see clearly and live faithfully by the light of your truth in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3, and verses 17 through 22. These verses remind us to not only give thanks to the Lord for the marvelous things that God has done, but to share our stories of how God has blessed us. Let us listen to the word of our Lord together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Some were sick through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities endured affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. And let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices and tell of his deeds with songs of joy. Today's gospel reading comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus's I am statement, I am the vine, is the very last statement that he makes before his arrest and crucifixion. Let us listen together to the word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers, and such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, although it's not technically the first day of spring today, that happens next Saturday, the action of turning our clocks forward and the last few days that have been sunny certainly turns our attention to finding the signs of spring all around us. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see those signs of spring. Daffodils are just beginning to peek through the ground after a winter sleep, and trees and bushes are beginning to bud, promising us green leaves soon. I've noticed that the stores are displaying racks and racks of a variety of seeds, and maybe some of you are getting seed catalogs that are arriving in your mailbox, luring all of us to the promise of lush gardens that we can eat our way through all summer. Spring evokes images of new life and growth, and we know that to enjoy the view of flowers or the taste of fruits or vegetables, some work has to be done. Our hands will need to get a little dirty, and we know that just because we want something to grow doesn't guarantee that it will. Encouraging the growth of tomato plants means pinching off the gangly stems. That getting a second bloom from the impatiens or the pansies or the sweet peas and zinnias means cutting back to early flowers. And if something is growing where it doesn't belong, well, we usually pull it and call it a weed. And if something is dead or not growing well, we cut it off. If something is too big or too small, we move it, stake it, and tie it back. So it's safe to say that gardening is not an inactive experience. There are choices to be made. At times, it's difficult work. And like gardening, experiencing a close relationship with God requires our attention and activity. As he often does, Jesus uses pictures and ideas which were a part of the religious heritage of the Jewish culture and nation. Over and over again in the Old Testament, Israel is pictured as the vine or the vineyard of God. The prophet Isaiah said, "The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." And in the book of Jeremiah, God says, "I planted you as a choice vine." In the Psalms, we read that God compares Israel to a vine that came out of Egypt. And Israel itself was, in the eyes of its people, the true vine whose roots ran all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So when Jesus spoke of the vine, he knew what he was talking about. Not only was he using an image familiar to the Jewish religious culture, but vineyards and grapevines were common in their daily lives. The vine has two kinds of branches, one that bears fruit and one that does not. And the branches that do not bear fruit are drastically pruned back so that they will drain away none of the plant's strength. The vine cannot produce the crop of which it is capable without severe pruning. And Jesus knew this. He says that his followers are like that. Some of them are lovely fruit-bearing branches of himself, and others are ineffective because they bear no fruit. So who was Jesus thinking of when he spoke of those fruitless branches? Well, he was thinking of God's people. They were the branches of God's vine, but the vine that did not bear fruit were those people who refused to listen to him. They refused to accept him. Therefore, they were withered and useless branches. Jesus was thinking about those of us whose faith consists of profession without practice, words without deeds. He was thinking of Christians who were useless branches, all leaves and no fruit. Abide in me as I abide in you. To hear this promise has the power to open us to new possibilities of life in the present. It redirects our concerns from questions about the past or from fears about a Jesus who is gone and distant. Twice Jesus promises, "I am the vine." And in that promise, something happens. There is an event in which we become something new. We are transformed by a new reality in which we are empowered and commissioned as disciples. And this is really good news for all of us. No matter how much it flies in the face of everything we're taught about success and measuring up by the world standards, it's not up to us to dig deep down inside and make happen what needs to happen. If we stay close to Jesus, we have a source for all of the grace and strength that we need in our lives. And the result will be fruit that blesses the world and reveals us as the followers of Jesus, a community of love. God desires his children, you and me, to be a growing community of faith, a side of productivity and increase, not the kind of productivity and increase by world standards, but by the standards exemplified through the life of Jesus Christ. The world would tell our church to base our productivity and increase upon membership and growing endowments and creating beautiful buildings. And yet God's standards of productivity and increase are based upon love and on keeping the commandments Christ gave and becoming disciples like God's Son, Jesus Christ. The secret of the life of Jesus was his constant contact with God. Again and again, Jesus withdrew, sometimes into a solitary place to meet God, to abide in the presence of the Lord of all creation. We too must keep contact with Jesus, and we cannot do that without taking deliberate steps to do so. It means consciously arranging our life to include prayer and the reading of scripture and all sorts of other spiritual disciplines so that there is never a day when we give ourselves a chance to forget him. Well, not only do we try to abide in Jesus at a personal level, but also as an active church community. We learn together how to abide in Jesus as a body of Christ. Our task as we read this chapter is to reflect critically upon the way in which our church is bearing much fruit and becoming disciples and glorifying God in the process. Certainly, it has been challenging to abide together in Jesus this past year with the pandemic. But the beauty of the challenges is that new ways to abide with Christ and one another has emerged over this past year. Most obvious to many of us has been the way that we can now interact online as a community of faith so that those who are unable to be physically present in person are now able to be present in a digital format. And thanks be to God for encouraging us to provide the technology to make this connection a part of our normal way of being church to one another and in our community. When Christ says, "Love one another as I have loved you," he is directing us toward an outward love that is a frequent theme throughout John's gospel. Christ is commanding each of us to transform from an inward and self-contained community towards an outward-turned community that encompasses love of God and neighbor. And Jesus is pretty clear what happens with branches that do not produce fruit. And it isn't very pretty. Branches that fail to live in love are concerned only with themselves. And Jesus says that those branches will be thrown away and will wither. And these branches will be gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. There will be no fruit, no growth, no abiding with a grower. Well, John's community, who's hearing these words from Jesus, is struggling to redefine community and to learn what it means to live as believers in Jesus Christ. Life changes when you fix your eyes upon Jesus, and at times it's not easy. And our church community is presented with an opportunity to redefine community as we hopefully reach a post-pandemic life. And we've learned through technology that there are ways to be connected online. I think about the Christian Education Committee, for example, who have learned that families and adults and youth can be supported on their Christian journey through the use of online VBS videos and hand-delivered Bible activities and and resources to be used at home. I think about the way that we've adapted the community luncheon so that we didn't have to stop ensuring that our neighbors are fed, but could support a local business who could prepare bagged lunches in a safe way for us to continue to distribute food. I think about our deacons over this past year who jumped into a new role as shepherds to designated groups of members at the beginning of this pandemic and soon became a great resource for folks to feel connected to the church when we were unable to be physically present at church. And of course, all of these adaptions are a work in progress as we discern the best way to follow the commandment to love one another as I have loved you. Church life inside the walls of this church doesn't look like it did 10, 20, or 30 years ago. By the world standards, our church may not be producing the kind of fruit it thinks we should. Faithful members have died. Some members had followed God's call to serve in another church. Many of our members are aging and moving to facilities where they can receive special care, and maybe they're unable at this point to join us in worship. By the world standards, it doesn't look like we are increasing our fruit production. But the good news is that the value of our church community isn't based on the world standards. It's based on a kingdom standard, the heavenly kingdom. And what we know of God's kingdom is that value is placed on the way that we shine the light of Jesus Christ in the dark places of our world. It's based on how we love our neighbors and fight for injustice and provide a safe place of acceptance and provide care to all of God's children, young and old. I was delighted this past week to read former reports from committees who led the missional church and the natural church development programs in this church over the past 10 years. I know many of you here in person or online served on those committees. And what I read confirmed what I already knew from my time of interviewing with a pastor nominating committee in the fall of 2019. This is what I knew. Lewistown Presbyterian Church has always been a community eager to connect with the local community, to their neighbors. And the most important part of reading through these reports was that what they revealed is this one truth. Lewistown Presbyterian Church wants to do everything they can to connect with more and more people through the community, near and far. Well, I think one way I can lead and serve as the pastor of this church is to help us ask difficult questions. Questions like, in what ways are we connected or disconnected from the true vine? What fruit are we producing? Are we keeping the commandments of Christ to love God and love one another? I've asked those same questions to a church community in my first call, and I enjoyed working alongside them to bear fruit in the community that God had called them to serve. But I think it's also important that we all understand something. If I ask the questions, that doesn't mean that I have all the answers. It means we find the answers to those questions together. It means we exhibit a loving community by praying for the ruling elders of our church who are fulfilling duties to lead this church. And it means that we pray for the deacons who are adapting to new responsibilities. It means we pray for one another and encourage one another to abide in Christ and to root our lives in the Word of God. It means we understand that there are times in the life of God's church and in our personal lives that God will prune and remove dead branches so that we can bear more fruit. And believe me, these times will be challenging, but God will guide us through it all. And God's beautiful promises will be revealed when we discover by being obedient to God's call that new fruit that feeds our souls and the lives of our neighbors will burst forth among all the wonderful ministry and mission activities that this church has and continues to provide. Friends, so many things feel out of our control, especially after this past year. A lot of things feel out of control in our lives and in this church. And what we do in the face of change is we learn to abide in Christ together. We stay close to the vine. We trust the vine grower. Jesus promises us that when we abide in him and allow the word of God to abide in us, then whatever we ask will be done for us. Not requests that are for our soul benefit, but requests that allow us to grow and blossom and bear fruit as we become Christ's disciples. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Not that we won't experience difficulties, but that no matter what we face personally and as a church, it will ultimately bear fruit through the glory of God. Because bearing fruit does not create disciples. Bearing fruit reveals disciples. God, as Master Gardener, offers a better design for our lives, much better design than I think any of us could imagine. A design that brings us growth, stability, and sustaining fruit. So let us find our home in God's Word and place our trust there. Because without a doubt, the harvest promises to be beautiful and bountiful. Alleluia. Amen. Let us continue with our worship as we stand and join in our song of praise, Bless the Lord.
Oh,
I invite you to remain standing as we continue to bless the Lord as we affirm our faith through the reading of the Nicene Creed. And I will be honest with you, you're going to need to take a deep breath before we say the creed, because it's a longer one, but it is a creed that was written as a confession of the time that it was written, and it proclaims what we believe. So let us read this together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. And through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. And we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we remember the needs around us and in our world as we enter into a time of prayer with the one who knows our every thought and need. Trusting in God's ability to heal all wounds, let us pray. Holy God, you created us in Christ Jesus for good works. Help those who profess faith in Christ to do good in the world, following the way of life that you have prepared for those who believe in him. Your children walk by your light, doing what is true, yet salvation is not earned for good works, but through trust in your grace. Dispel from your children arrogance of heart, that the world may be drawn to your truth by their humble witness. In every age, you call forth men and women of integrity to lead your people in the way of righteousness. Help us all to fulfill the callings you have placed upon us. Give us courage to speak the truth in love and help us to bear fruit worthy of our calling. We pray for the needs that surround us, O healing Spirit, and ask that you make your presence known in real and amazing ways. Bind up the brokenhearted, heal the sick, tend to the lonely and lost, and be with our family and friends we are unable to see physically at this time. And may we be attuned to the ways in which you call us to be present in all circumstances and for all people, that we may magnify the love of Jesus Christ through the way in which we love them. We give thanks for your care in all of the intricacies of our lives. You care about us, and you love us beyond our imagination, and to you we give thanks. And we ask that you would help us to show the same care and love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we open our eyes to the needs around us and respond as your Son, Jesus Christ, would respond. Receive our prayers. Grant us what we need. Save us from perishing. And bring us to everlasting life. We lift these needs to you as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. People of God, let us offer our sacrifice of thanksgiving, telling of God's deeds with songs of joy, and let us give generously this week of our time, talent, and treasures to the glory of God.